afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this Friday edition of Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret, and today we continue, actually we begin a brand new book of the Bible. We come today to the book of Philippians. Philippians, the New Testament book of Philippians, we begin today in chapter 1, verse 1. But first, the views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself and may not be the same as that of our management group, the Friends of WNRBLP, or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. And Father, I pray your blessings on this study today and on the entire book of Philippians. I pray, Lord, that you would bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Paul and Timothy were like two peas in a pod, so to speak. They were both sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why they got along so well. And it says in verse 2, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is God giving us something good that we do not deserve. And that good includes peace between us and God. Jesus paid for our sins so that we could be right with God and avoid his wrath. Verse 3. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Or you're doing something right when people feel that way about you. And you're living for God when a godly person like the Apostle Paul feels that way about you. Verse 4. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. And it is a joy to pray when one realizes that God really does hear prayers and that he will answer those prayers in the correct way at the right time. Verse 5. Let's read 4 along with it. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Christians are supposed to work together to help spread the word of God and to help spread the good news that Jesus Christ saves sinners from hell. Verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God finishes what he starts. Of course, sometimes he has to work around our failures and our sins and our weaknesses. But the plans and the purposes of God cannot be thwarted. That's what Scripture says. Verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. You know, true Christian love sticks with people through good times and bad. Jesus is no fair weather fan. Jesus is no fair weather friend who bails out on us when we need him the most. And if Christians really love Jesus Christ, then they will be there for people when they need help the most. Verse 8. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. If we are filled with the Spirit of God as Christians, then our love for others would be a supernatural love, generated in us by the power of God. And we will be loving beyond what we ever thought possible because it'll be God doing it through us. Verse 9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. The more we know about God, the more our love can be precisely the way God wants it to be. For our love to be effective, it must be governed by God's Word. So the more that you understand about the Word of God, the more effective your love will be for others. Because Christian love, true biblical type love, only exists within the boundaries of Scripture. Only exists within the boundaries of truth. Once you get out of scriptural bounds, you may do what feels right, but it's not going to be right. Not in the long run. Verse 10. So that you may be, let's read 9 with it. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. In other words, we need to fill our souls with God's Word, not only to discern between what's good and bad, but to discern between what's good, better, and best. We will be judged, even as Christians, we will be judged according to our behavior. So it's wise to take the time to learn how God wants us to behave. It only makes sense. Verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness. Notice that? Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. No Christian should ever settle for a little righteousness here and there. Nothing short of being filled with righteousness should be our goal. We owe that to Christ. And if we're saved, we want that for Christ. Verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And what has happened to Paul is prison for preaching the Word of God. So it wasn't good. And yet he says, what has happened to me has happened to further the gospel. You know, when we are in God's will as Christians, then no matter what happens to us, it is designed by God to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we can't see it, but it's true nevertheless. Verse 13. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. In other words, the Apostle Paul was in prison because of his relationship with Jesus Christ, because he preached the Word of God, because he preached that Jesus was the only way to heaven. The Apostle Paul suffered for being loyal to Jesus Christ. You know, many people like truth. As long as it benefits them, but they oppose it when it rubs them the wrong way. And the truth of God's Word is pure truth. And it often cuts deep. And that's why its messengers, like Paul, are sometimes disliked and persecuted. 14. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the Word of God more courageously and more courageously and fearlessly. In other words, Christians saw how the Apostle Paul suffered for Jesus, and as a result, were encouraged to be true to Christ as well, no matter what the cost might be. You know, one Christian who is totally dedicated to Jesus Christ can spark a spiritual revival in others whose faith have become lukewarm. And Christ would have you and me be that one person who gets totally sold out to Jesus Christ, totally committed to Christ, because it's the right thing to do. And often others will follow. 15. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. And it's sad. It is sad, but it is true that some people use Jesus and the Bible to further their ungodly plans and their own personal desires. They make merchandise of the Word of God. So, do not be naive and think that everyone who calls themselves a preacher or a pastor or who carries their Bible to church is really serving Christ. On the other hand, don't be so turned off by those who are corrupt that you think all preachers are frauds. That's not true either. The vast majority love the Lord. 15. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. Here's the flip side. But others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. Hard to believe, but, you know, Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there were some who called themselves Christians, some who called themselves preachers, who were out there preaching the word of God, trying to make it harder on Paul in prison. I don't know how exactly that would work, but that was their motive. And that's because they envied Paul. People who envy and who have selfish ambition, instead of being ambitious to serve Jesus Christ, will be very ungodly at times and hurt other people in the process. In fact, whenever a Christian allows their focus to be taken off of Jesus Christ and placed on themselves, they're going to cause trouble in one form or another. Because selfishness and self-centeredness always leads to trouble. It leads to strife. Verse 18. Paul says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is being preached. And because of this, I rejoice. That was the most important thing to Paul. That, you know, even if some preachers did not have pure motives for preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul was happy because at least Jesus was being preached. See how Christ-focused this guy was? He wouldn't hurt anyone. He would not take advantage of anyone because his life was not about himself. These people were trying to hurt him. They're trying to make life miserable for him. And what did he care about? Well, at least Jesus is being preached. Jesus is the only one who really matters to the Christian whose walk with God is what it should be. And if they must suffer to bring honor to Christ, then to them it is worth it. If God can squeeze glory and honor to Christ out of their trouble, then their trouble is a source of joy for them. Last part of verse 18 and verse 19. And he says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Pray for Christians who are in trouble. That's the lesson here. Pray for Christians who are in trouble. Pray because God will only do certain things if they are prayed for. Pray because it works. Pray because God uses prayer. Pray because it's good for us to pray keeps us close to God ourselves. I don't understand all the reasons why God has designed things to work through prayer. But he has, and maybe someday he will explain all those reasons to us. But I think the ones that I mentioned here are good enough reason to pray. They're sufficient. Verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will be in no way ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. That was his big concern. And it is the hope of every true Christian that they will not bring reproach to the Savior by their behavior. Hard times present Christians with an opportunity to showcase their faith in Christ. But hard times also present a danger that they might cave into pressure and do something foolish and dishonor Christ. And no true Christian wants that. 21. He says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Talk about being completely, totally given over to Jesus Christ and dedicated to living for his honor and doing what he wants him to do. For me to live is Christ. That pretty much says it all, doesn't it? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So live for Jesus all the time, no matter what that means for you in this life. Because as a Christian, the best is yet to come. To die is gain. Whatever we must go through, whatever we must go without in this life to remain faithful to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ will seem like absolutely nothing compared to the good which we will enjoy in eternity as Christians. If we really believe the Bible, if we really believe that what it says is true, and that is that the best is yet to come, if we really believe that, then we won't have a problem going all out for Jesus, giving him our very best. Well, we're about halfway through the program today. Got off to a little bit of a late start. It's time for our break. Would you please listen to this? I will be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret.
This is By the Way. I'm planning to be with many of my loved ones this Christmas. That's a blessing. I think about those who are deployed to various parts of the world being away from home for long periods of time. It must be especially difficult for them. And I think of those who have no families they can call their own. It was God's idea to place us in families, and home is a place where His love and care and forgiveness can be shown in wonderful ways. And families, of course, are drawn together in many and varied ways. Christians, who prize Christmas for the treasure it is, understand that they are part of God's family. And whether separated or not from other family members, they know they belong, that they are loved, that they are important. May God connect you with many brothers and sisters in Christ this Christmas. This is By the Way.
And with fair skies is a very frigid minus 5 degrees in Wausau at 9:26. Welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. We continue our first study in the book of Philippians. We began a brand new book of the Bible today. Philippians, only 4 chapters. And we're in chapter 1, and we resume our study. Let's see, where did we leave off? Verse 22. So let's begin reading in verse 41. I should say verse 21. 21 and 22. He says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. It's not as if he thinks he has the choice. Jesus is the one who holds the keys to death and the grave. But what the Apostle Paul is saying is that he really wasn't sure whether he wanted to check out of this life or not. Heaven's going to be great. And yet we only get one time around here on earth to serve Jesus before we go to be with him. And so it's important to make the most of the time that we have here and try to stay here as long as we can too. As long as we can be of some use to Christ. And that's how I feel. I would like to stay here for as long as I can be useful to Christ. For as long as I can teach the Word of God or do whatever he wants me to do. And I think that's how the Apostle Paul felt too. Because he says in verse 23, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Notice what he says here. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. He desires to depart and be with Christ. There is no place called purgatory. There is no place called purgatory where Christians must go to suffer until they are fit for heaven. Paul was planning on going directly to Jesus after his death, and he never, ever suggested that it would be anything different for any other Christians. And no other biblical writer ever suggested it would be anything different either. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, Scripture says. 24. He says, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Sometimes we must sacrifice for the benefit of others. Paul wanted to go to heaven. If it was up to him, that's where he'd rather go. But on the other hand, he wanted to stick around and help the Philippians grow in their faith, teach them the Word of God. And so, he was willing to hang around. And sometimes we must sacrifice for the benefit of others. Jesus cares about us, and he cares about our comfort, but he also cares about others. And that means just as Christ sacrificed himself for our good, he wants us to sacrifice of ourselves for the good of others. 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Every Christian must serve Christ to the best of their ability, whether they have support from other Christians or not. Whatever others do, God expects us to live in a manner worthy of Christ. God expects us to be self-starters when it comes to holiness and righteousness. Verse 28. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed. Note that word, destroyed. It is talking about eternal destruction. It is talking about hell. You know, hell is not destruction in the sense that you are annihilated and you cease to exist. That's not it. Eternal destruction is a quality of life, not a quantity of life. So that's what this is referring to. Again, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, who oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ, who oppose Christianity, what about them? This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. Very important for Christians to keep everything in a proper biblical and eternal perspective. If we do, we won't worry about suffering for Jesus Christ. If it happens, consider it an honor, and consider it to be God's stamp of approval on you, And also consider it to be a reminder that you are saved, because that's what God says. If you're suffering for Christ and you're remaining true to Christ, that's a sign that you're saved. That's a sign that if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven, because that's how strong your faith is. Is you willing to put up with that? I'll tell you who should be afraid. It's not the Christian who is being threatened with persecution. The one who comes against the Christian, because they dare to proclaim the Word of God and live the Word of God, they are the ones who should be afraid, according to what God says here. They are the ones who better hope they don't die. Because if they don't repent, they're going to go to hell for opposing God and opposing His Son. That's what the Scripture is saying here. Now, you can argue with that if you want to, but I just want you to know your argument's not with me. I'm not adding a single thing to the Word of God. That's just what the Scripture is saying here. Verse 29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. It's been granted to you. Salvation from hell is a gift from God through Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins so that God could give you the gift of salvation simply if you would repent and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. He gives you the gift of salvation. Salvation is a gift. And so is the opportunity for a Christian to suffer for Christ. And no, that doesn't mean that a Christian should go out and look for trouble. But if because of your faith suffering comes your way, don't look at it as a bad thing. Consider it an honor. That's what God is saying. 30. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So, you see, that's what happened to Paul. Jesus said, all who will live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So, to one degree or another, a Christian who lives for the Lord Jesus Christ and helps spread the Word of God is going to suffer in some way for their faith. Mark it. You can mark this down. You can take it to the bank. Those preachers who everyone in the world seems to speak well of are compromising the truth in some way. Because the message of Christianity, the message of the Word of God, although it is filled with the love of God, I mean, how much more loving could it be than God Himself becoming a man and dying on the cross and paying for our sins and then offering us the gift of salvation for free? How much more loving could anything be than that? The message of Christianity is a very loving message, but it also is a very straightforward message that rubs sinners the wrong way, because it tells them that they have to repent. And Jesus also said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And if you're a preacher and you're preaching that message on a worldwide scale, and you're doing it clearly, you're not going to be the most popular person in the world, because that's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. But it's truth. It rubbed people the wrong way when Paul preached it. That's why he was in prison. It rubbed people the wrong way when the other 11 apostles preached it. That's why they were all martyred for their faith. It rubbed countless numbers of people the wrong way when probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Christians in the last 2,000 years stood firm on that biblical message and were martyred as a result. I hope you have enjoyed our first study in the book of Philippians. We'll continue in Philippians chapter 2 on Monday, Lord willing, anyway. If you have any questions for me or any comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or if you would rather email me, you can email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. If you want more of the Word of God, you want to study the Word of God further, well then, please take advantage of the Scripture Verse by Verse website, because you can study the entire Bible online for free with my audio Bible commentaries. Download whatever you want, or listen to it live streaming, whatever you want to do, go ahead. Take advantage of it, that's why it's there. And since it's Christmas, I think you will be blessed if you go to the Scripture Verse by Verse homepage and find that link on there. You can't miss it, Carol's Christmas videos, actually, and I think you will be blessed if you click on those and watch them. Anyway, the address of that website is meret.org. That's meurett.org. Again, meurett.org. If you want a place to worship this Sunday morning, you're welcome to join us. Come and have church with us, if you wish. We meet at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning at Island Place, which is right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. It's a simple service. It is a Christ-centered service. Lasts about 50 minutes, but I think you'll be blessed. You will not be sorry if you come. Again, that's 10 o'clock Sunday morning at Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. I'm with you Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. So have yourself a great weekend. And until Monday, this is Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.